welcome to another episode of the Monday Mile podcast. Today we've travelled up north to meet a man who's not just a guy that can move. He's a proud father and probably one of the only people in a bar that's friends with everyone. He's a familiar face on our screens, having won his first season on BBC Strictly. He doesn't do things by half. When it comes to professionalism, on screen, becoming a father, and of course, the last man standing with a Café Patron at the bar. The only way is 120%. And for that, I have the utmost respect.
Wow.
Alias.
Wow.
Scoriana.
Yes.
What an intro.
What an intro.
To the Monday Mile podcast.
Thank you for having me. That was, you made me emotional there for a second. Is that really me? I love that the first thing you said was, thank you so much.
Well done. Great.
You're really
work.
Good with that, you know?
For those people that have just tuned into the audio, we have quite literally carried Aliash's newborn baby up some steps.
Yeah, little Lyra. She thoroughly enjoys being carried and driven. I'm so jealous sometimes. Can you imagine the life still? Being in a pram all day, getting fed. You don't even need to do anything. Smile.
It's quite cushy, isn't it?
I think it's lovely.
I could get a pram and push you next to her.
You know, one of those twin prams. You can be in one side, Lyra can be in the other.
So Lyra is the second ever Bubba
is
on
she?
The mile.
Oh yes, Kaz.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know,
I'm a fan.
Kaz. But you are the first ever father on the mile with the Bubba.
Oh.
So
like
thank you so much for joining us. Where are we, Aliash?
So we're in Birmingham. Jeanette's working here at the moment with the life tour. So Lyra and I came to visit. Because
nice.
I know how much Jeanette misses her, so I thought it's going to be nice to come for a couple of days just so they can spend some time together. And this is the canal in Birmingham, which kind of reminds me a little bit of Peaky Blinders, isn't it?
It is beautiful.
So, and I love that both of us dressed like Peaky Blinders today.
Look at
that.
All black.
Look at that. We look like we're proper matching.
So you've recently moved to the Northern Territories, travelled the world for your profession. How are you finding living up north?
I love it. I feel like I have twice the amount of time. It's beautiful, it's green, and it reminds me a little bit of Slovenia. Because Slovenia is very, very, very green. And the only thing I was worried about was Jeanette, actually, because she's never lived outside of a city all her life. So I was a bit worried, moving so far out of everything, that she might not like it, but she loves it even more than I do.
It is quite nice to step away from the madness of city life. And I can imagine with both of your lifestyles, from being on tour, to being on TV, to being on one of the world's biggest TV shows, that's a real extreme flip. It's almost like a little hideaway, just the three of you.
True, but like, I feel like you need that. I mean, you know, when we started Strictly, I was 21, 22.
That is so young.
Yeah. At the time, I was by far the youngest they ever had on the show as a pro. And then because the first year went really well with Abby, then they kind of started bringing in younger professionals. But that's why I left the show when I was 32 to 31, yeah. So now I have the whole life ahead of me with the prem.
Is it quite a contrast going from dancing on that show, being in the spotlight, to then sort of retreating and...
Yeah.
Being a dad.
I think that being in a spotlight comes with the job, doesn't it? But I never really enjoyed that part as much as actually creating and teaching celebrities. Yeah. I never really enjoyed the spotlight. I always just loved the nitty-gritty of it. Rehearsals, you know, here and there a Saturday, not all of them. I was always more a fan of that. But what comes with it? I mean, it's amazing that a dancer can survive in a place like UK and make a living out of it. Like, it's one of the only places in the world that you can actually do that.
That's wild. And growing up as a kid in Slovenia, I bet you can imagine that your passion for dancing could take you all around the world to dance on the biggest TV show, to
You're
be
right.
able to sustain a living and do it with your best friend and wife.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Hmm.
But the job isn't as simple as it looks from the outside. Take us to rehearsals, being given a fresh partner each year, and the process of helping them in confidence learn to be okay. Because when I think of myself, I feel like it's a big ask to go on a TV show, wear something really skimpy, and essentially bear all.
Yeah, it is very exposing for anyone that ever does it. I mean, it's proper scary, really, when you stand on that floor for the first time, especially the first time. I admire each and every single one of them that have ever raised their hand or picked up the phone and said yes to Strictly in a nice way.
Yeah.
Because it is so, like you said, like it's, I mean, you're so out of your comfort zone. If you've never performed or if you ever never danced before, even more so, all you really want to do is have someone next to you that kind of helps you and guides you through it. I always felt like that was basically my job. You know, obviously, if you do Strictly as a pro, you're going to know how to dance.
That's sort of the easy bit, right?
Exactly.
For you.
That's like, you need to tick that box before you even step through the door. But I found that the mental support and looking after them emotionally was just as, if not more important than the actual dancing bit.
To do that job,
yeah,
you are not just a dancer. You have to approach it with a deeper psychological understanding and awareness. When it comes to meeting your partner for the first time, how do you as a pro go about building that confidence from day one to week 10? Because us watching the TV, we see these incredible transformations, not only physically in weight loss, but also in emotion and the way in which people carry themselves. You see people go from this sort of slightly hunched up, nervous, to stepping with stride and confidence. It's
just
incredible.
Like that. Just like that.
I mean, I'm, you should do it, you know. I'm forever in posture training.
I've been telling you for years now, you should so do it.
Oh, I don't know.
But you know what it is? I feel like I've had a couple of celebrities. I had 9, and I had a couple that the ones that surprise you the most are the ones that, you know, never stood on stage before. Or, you know, they were doing something that wasn't involving performing in front of people. And those are the celebrities that for me were the most rewarding people to look after, because you have this blank canvas. Yeah?
Yeah.
And as soon as you make them believe, that's the most important thing, that they can do it, they can do anything. If you put your mind to it, dancing is, you know, it looks very tricky and it is hard when it gets to technical stuff.
Trust me, I'm aware of that. I've tried, you know, your cha-cha-cha. Let's not repeat what you said about me afterwards. No one needs to know that.
No. This is getting filmed, isn't it? No. And if you believe in yourself, you can do it. Like, but you need someone to reassure you that you can do it. And, you know, we're all professional dancers, us pros, when I did the show. And you got to lower your, in the nicest possible way,
yeah,
you got to lower your expectations about yourself, about the partnership,
yeah,
and you gotta just go with it. Because I feel like if you try and, you know, aim to dance like I danced when I was doing Blackpool when I was 12 years old, you're always gonna fail. And the show is not as much about dancing as you think it is. It's just about portraying that happiness and joy through something like dancing, not necessarily doing the best cha-cha that anyone's ever done. It's about doing a cha-cha and look like you're having fun while doing it. Does that make sense? And you can't go wrong.
How do you instill that when it comes to meeting your partner for the first time? Because that must be quite the process.
Yeah, it is.
Stripping them back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost like learning to walk again.
It is. It's literally that. I mean, funny enough, that's the first thing I would always do is go, okay, this is your left, this is your right. Let's walk up and down the room. I basically make a little, how I would do it, I would make myself look as bad as possible, just so.
So you're coming to their level?
Lower.
Oh, okay.
Lower. So day one, they feel like, oh, you know what? I can proper do this. Because it's not about me knowing how to dance. Of course I know how to dance, but I want to make them believe, oh, you know what? I almost look better than he does.
Go on, give us an example.
I mean, you know,
I'm on pram duty.
So like, I don't know, when they're doing like a Latin step, you know,
okay,
like I would make it look really, really clunky next to them. So when they're, because obviously we have a mirror in front of us, and when you see them doing it, they go, I'm better. And it's like, it's all mental really, because I mean, you have 3.5 days to learn how to dance, and you're not gonna learn how to dance. You learn how to do those steps that the pros give you.
Right.
So you learn how to do 25 steps from a waltz. You can't then after that dance go and teach a waltz. You can only teach those 25 steps.
You know what it's kind of like? It's, I don't know about you in school, I remember learning the answers for the exam,
yeah,
but not actually learning the subject.
Exactly.
You're just sort
That's
of
it.
Surface
That's exactly
scraping it,
it
and
That's
you're
exactly it.
Sort of showcasing that you can do
yeah
a part of it.
That's just an honest thing, because there's just not enough time. You can't, I mean, look, you're a professional athlete too. You can't learn how to snowboard in 3.5 days.
I mean, I'd love to teach you, know? You but I think it would be quite a painful process. Your ass
for
would
you,
be,
no?
Yeah, your yeah, ass sorry. Would be black and blue and my legs would be in bits from having to stand sideways all day. What was the most rewarding part about seeing one of your students, one of the celebrities, blossom?
The most rewarding part, you know what? Monday morning when you walk in, you tell them what the song is, you tell them what the dance is, hopefully they like both, and then teaching them the first step, seeing that insecure, unsure face, and then Friday, when you do it for the first time in the studio, the difference between the two. That to me, it's indescribably, I don't know, beautiful. It's, and to be there, to guide them through it, is that, I mean, I could never replace that feeling. And then listen, Saturday then goes the way it goes. Sometimes, you know, the dance is perceived well, sometimes it isn't. But I always tell my celebrities, if I'm happy, if we are happy with the dance, doesn't really matter.
It's all that matters,
that's
right?
who you gotta please anyway.
Yeah.
That's the best thing about that show. I feel like, you know, seeing them getting to know themselves, going, oh God, you know what? This is so hard. And if I can do that, I can do anything. And I think that's the beauty
of it. That's so empowering.
Yeah.
Let's take that feeling and bottle it. You said it's...
Put it in. Put it in a bottle.
Go on.
You gotta have the imaginary bottle, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you put it, the good thoughts, okay. You put it in the bottle. Close the lid. Yeah, and then put it in your coat.
It's in the coat.
And then whenever you have a bad day or a bad moment, you take the bottle out, you open it, you have a little drink. Always close the lid though, so they don't disappear.
We don't want to lose it, right?
No. And then you put it back in the coat. And it's like a little bank of happy feelings.
I love that.
Yeah.
So we've got that bottle. We've got that emotion, that feeling. You said it's quite hard to replicate that. You since then have gone on quite the transition in life. You've left Strictly.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had a baby. What is fulfilling you now? And how was that process and transition? Because this must give you...
Look, as soon as you said baby, I started smiling.
A whole lot of life.
It's a completely different ball game now. I mean, you know, looking after a celebrity... Are you okay there, bro?
Yeah, I'm loving it.
It's looking after the celebrity is one thing, but, you know, looking after your own little being, it's so rewarding. And I was, you know, because I've never been at that before. You see people do it. And at the end of the day, it's just so straightforward, Amy. They're either hungry, you need to change them, or you need to smile back at them. And if you have time for it, and if you fill up for it, which I really do, then it's the easiest thing in the world. Look, I mean, you're not gonna sleep much. You're not gonna be able to do things.
How do you find that, the lack of sleep?
Fine, because I used to go out and I used to socialize. I used to go out to events that I didn't want to go to, and I did it anyway. So now I'm doing something that I actually want to do. So it's not hard at all.
That is so magic.
I find it so easy.
Have you got any tips for first-time dads? Because in the Fuller family, we're about to have a first-time dad.
Yeah, really?
I'm going to be an auntie.
Come on. Yeah. You know that's the best job ever?
Yeah, you just get to dip in, play, and then
bail. You do the best stuff. And then you just, that's how I was with my little nieces, The old one is 5 now. Zala is 5 and Tisa is going to be 3. That was my favorite job ever. It's the best thing because you play with them. And then as soon as the nappy is full, you just kind of straighten the arms. And then there's the mom, But now I can't do that anymore. Now the arms go towards me. But I love it though. Changing nappies is actually really therapeutic, you know?
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how. Oh, it's bumpy. We are just passing the Birmingham Arena.
Yeah, we are.
You've danced in there many a time.
Yeah.
And your wife is in there now, so you're going to head there afterwards.
I will, yeah. It's mad, really, to think about it. Like here, O2. I love the one in Manchester. Glasgow has a great arena called Hydro. I think it's over now. But anyway.
Is that the best thing, performing in front of a live audience?
100%. That's the only thing I miss about anything with Strictly, or that's why we still do our tours, because there's nothing in terms of being a performer. I mean, you know, you love doing telly, or you know, you love doing it for the camera.
Yeah.
But seeing people's reactions there and then, that's the best feeling ever.
Have you heard of Kodak Courage?
No.
That's what I call it. So in snowboarding, I don't know if it's the same in dancing, somebody whacks a camera on you and you just go for it.
Sa.
Yeah.
Like a GoPro.
Yeah, literally the minute you're on cam, the level just raises.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And I suppose that can be the same with a live audience. I've been lucky enough to come and watch you guys twice live on the Remembering Tour.
Uh-huh.
Christmas tour. And we surprised you in Bath.
You did,
well,
in
not
Bath.
You, Jeanette. But
Jeanette,
yeah, you
we
were
surprised
in on
it together.
Yeah, yeah, that was
in... You know, Jeanette said this morning, yeah? Sorry.
Yeah.
Jeanette said this morning, I said, oh, I'm going to go and do the Monday, because I'm a Messi fan. And she goes, do you know what? Amy has always been so supportive. And you're one of the few people, like in our, you know, circle of friends that we have here in UK, that has always come unquestionably to support us on our shows.
Oh, I love
and
it.
And you are, but you are. So I got to tell you that.
Oh,
so
thank you, friend. Thank you. Love that.
Boom. Not only we dress the same, we even...
Yeah, we... You know, well, I need to get you snowboarding, then we're square.
Oh, I'm worried about that. I love that I just gave you the prep.
Yeah, I know. I've literally taken on
full
duty. Yeah, I'm quite enjoying it.
It's not heavy, is it?
It's making my posture slightly better, I think.
It's a nice prep as
maybe
well.
Maybe
it's
I'll pass her back to
go
you.
Go on, yeah.
Like, so when I came to see you on tour, we've spoken about the bottle, that high of dancing in a live arena. And you sort of joked about reaching a midlife crisis at the age of 32.
Yeah.
And I can sort of relate to that in a sense, having a career where you're on such a high and then it ends quite abruptly.
Mm.
Did you find that transition in coming away from the show in between having a baby tricky, or was that merely just a gesture?
I think that for me, it was more of a just a gesture, really, because I was thinking about it the other day. Because I get that asked a few times and I never know what to say, but I'm thinking of it like that now. I started dancing and practicing and training when I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
Yep. And I've done it competitively till I was 18. Then I started doing theater at 19. Then I started doing Strictly at 21, 22. And then I stopped that to be a dad. So I don't feel like I've ever really stepped away from anything. I feel like I've sort of constantly went from one thing to another.
Yeah,
and I only stopped doing Strictly because I feel like I've done it for so long. I've done every single dance, every single idea that I had in my head. I feel like I've done. And I was a little boy from a little Slovenia. And why not somebody else like that get that spot and have that opportunity when, you know, when you're really, really eager and hungry for it? Not that I wasn't. I basically left because of that. And we kind of decided that we want to have kids. And I didn't want to do Strictly and have a baby because...
You can't do it to 120%.
Well, you can't,
It's the 120% rule.
Exactly. And if you do Strictly, do it 120%. And I feel like, listen, we're all different. But in my case, I want to be a dad 120% as well because she deserves it.
That's so mega. I can really relate to that because I often get asked the question, why did you stop snowboarding?
Hmm.
Why did you stop?
And
like,
what
happened?
Why did you?
Because I was content. I felt like I'd done it. I'd achieved what I wanted to achieve and it wasn't fulfilling me anymore because I'd done that. I didn't want to stay on the same hamster wheel and be defined by just being a snowboarder. There's more to life, I believe, than doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think exploration, expanding, and growth comes from stepping outside of your lane.
Beautiful.
So that's why I stopped.
Makes
done.
Absolute sense.
Job I mean, done. If I keep going to Austria every year and ride the same glacier, you know what I'm going to see? The same faces, but also, unfortunately, the mountains melt in front of our eyes. I've done it and I had my time and I'm so grateful for that. But I'm really happy to walk away from it.
Amen. I mean, that was beautiful, that.
Boom, there you go.
I mean, you couldn't have said it better there. I've always admired you from an athlete's stand, but like hearing you say that, even more so. Because it takes a lot of courage. It's something that, you know, it's such an uncertain thing to do. All I ever did was dance. And now you kind of take that away. Well, what can I do? And you realize you can do everything else.
Whatever you want.
You know,
the world is your oyster.
You can literally do anything you want. I mean, you still need to apply yourself to it.
Yeah.
Things don't just happen like they did when you were practicing to go to the Olympics, or you just got to do it.
You got to put yourself in the environment.
Sounds like a Nike commercial, huh?
Just do it.
Just do it. Just do it.
We're doing it. We're walking. We're out. Walking and talking, getting our steps in.
I can't
in.
Feel my ears, by the way.
I should have bought you a hat.
Since when is this like minus now here?
I know. Minus two today. Talk to me a little bit about your routine. Now you're a dad. Things must have changed quite a bit. How are you maintaining your fitness? You're going from all of that dancing to a whole lot of bopping and walking.
Mm,
when I say bopping, is that what you call it?
Bouncing.
Oh, bouncing. Oh, no. I bet you've got a good bounce to the beat as well.
I perfected it.
Yeah,
I perfected it. We actually do a lot of foxtrot.
Do you?
That's the best way Lara can fall asleep. Around the kitchen counter, we do foxtrot.
Foxtrot is the running one, yeah?
No, foxtrot is a slow, quick, quick, slow.
The central, smooth.
It's like Frank Sinatra holding a baby, singing My Life. That kind of vibe.
Rhythmic.
Very rhythmic and suave and smooth.
So take us to your Monday morning routine. What are we likely to see you and Jeanette doing in the Skorianet?
Yeah, that was good, Skorianet.
Household.
I'm not gonna lie. Jeanette is the one that gets waken up by Lara. Lara Scott is on Jeanette's side of the bed.
That's good. Gets you out of that.
So whenever she's home, she likes to do the morning. Then I always wake up anyway. As soon as I hear her coo or make a little noise, I always wake up. But then I kind of linger in bed for a couple more minutes, and then we go down. We change her, we prep the milk, then we, feed her straight away. She's really good with sleep lately. And then normally, if we're home and if we have nothing to do, if nothing is immediately scheduled, we like to go for a little walk now.
Nice.
And then I would go and get some groceries for the day, and then I started cooking. I don't know.
What are we cooking?
Well, it depends. You see, because Slovenia is so close to Italy, I really love making pasta, like a good pasta.
Okay.
My mom makes this mean bolognese, so trying to do that. But it's so tough though.
Hearty bolognese in the middle of winter is the one.
Oh, and to make it good, like I thought it's like the simplest dish to make, but if you want to make it good, like a good sauce, 3 hours.
No.
It's brilliant.
Do you put wine? That's what my nan
used red wine, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, red wine
And even what wine you use, all of that matters.
What are we using? Come on.
You have those
people
cooking
wines. People want to know the details, Abby.
I like to put this, it sounds like awful, but Pinot Noir.
Okay,
I don't know why, but
maybe
because it's very heavy, I guess.
I mean,
I don't really drink wine, so.
A bit of stodge. Nice, so bit of a walk.
And that's it, really.
Some nice food.
And then we just like spending time together because we're so rarely at home doing nothing. Do you know what I mean? But because we tour, like she was 3 months old when we went on a Christmas tour. Lara's been in about 50 hotels of more, and she's 5.5 months old.
How have you found that process? Because when they're younger, notoriously, it's slightly easier. Or has that been tricky?
She's so good. Like she's a really good baby. Like that's for sure. But I feel like when you have babies or kids, if you tailor them to your life, obviously the whole world is gonna revolve around them, but in terms of in our case, because we tour and we're so much around, you kind of make it normal for them that's it. So it's not a panic, you plan for everything, you're still calm, but you make them think that that's normal. So she's absolutely fine now. Like I would put her on my own in the car and then go down to London for 5 hours, and she's absolutely fine with it.
Has it made you level up your organization skills?
I'm not gonna lie, it's more Jeanette really, but I'm not gonna take all the credit or any really, but Jeanette's brilliant like that. She's an amazing planner.
We've got the diary out as well.
Yeah.
Schedules.
Yeah, I never look at it, but it's there, yeah.
Yeah, just roll with the vibe.
Just go with it.
Talk to me a bit about your wellness routine now. You told me you're off up to a special class tonight. I'm sure the ladies are gonna love that.
Yeah, it's called a Reformer Pilates. I don't even know why I said yes, Amy. I'm not gonna lie. Because I had a look after I said yes, what it is. And it's proper hard, isn't it?
Oh, it's hardcore.
Bloody me. So yeah.
We're likely to be seeing you at the local Pilates class in Wilmslow?
Definitely not. You probably won't see me. I think that tonight, that's the only time I'm ever gonna go. I don't know. I'm like that, you see. I say, people ask me to do something, I say yes. And then after that, I go and check what it actually is.
Yeah, fair. I can definitely relate to that. Do you want to do this? Yeah.
Yeah. No, actually, no.
I think
it's too late.
Yes takes you to some incredible places, though.
True.
Have you got any occasions where you said yes and it's been one of the best life-changing moments you've ever had?
Yeah, Jeanette. Please don't take it. Cut.
No,
I'm joking.
Aliash, we've got two questions that we'd like to ask everyone on the Monday Mile podcast.
Go on.
The first one is, what is your relationship like with Monday?
I love Mondays. You know why? Because in our world, in our industry, people like to watch dancing on the weekend.
Yeah.
So Monday's normally off.
Ah, amazing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so you're chilling.
I love Mondays.
The bolognese is out. The sauce is being made.
No one wants to go and watch a show on a Monday night. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that means day off.
Show day's day off.
Exactly.
And lastly, Aliash, do you have any life mottos or quotes that you live by that you can share with our listeners?
Yeah, I got one.
Go on.
One of my favorite sayings, it's not actually that big here, but it's the shortcut is the longest way.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's strong.
It is. It's my mom would always tell me that when I was growing up. Whatever you do in life, do it properly. Don't take shortcuts. Don't beat around the bush. Do it with full heart. And I have a tattooed on my arm. It's my only tattoo. I live by it. Apply yourself to it and it's going to be much easier. Because if you don't, more than likely, you're going to have to circle back and do it all over again.
You're living proof of it today.
Exactly.
120%.
Oh, freezing, you know.
Aliash, thank you so much for joining us here.
You're
on
amazing.
The Mondo Mall Walk and Talk podcast. Thank you so much for being the first dad to bring little Lyra on the Mondo Mall show. It's been an absolute honour.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having us. Yeah,
us.
Mondo Mall listeners, you know what to do. Do make sure you subscribe, and the audio will be dropping every single Monday morning for the early risers. So in case you are awake in the middle of the night, Lyra, it drops at 12 a.m. Monday morning.
12 a.m. Monday morning.
Yeah. So
I'm going to be watching it live then.
Yeah, too right. Monday Mall listeners, it is a wrap.